Get it out. Shwahara. Jani Dai go pray manandi.
Thank you all for coming. We kept the classroom set up like this because Bhakti Prabhu has a program here tomorrow, so he asked us to keep the chairs like this. So we won't normally keep it like this. Okay, so what did we discuss last time?
But you have to look up for instructions given by other devotees, especially the learning from his initiative. Basically, he was being told what to do, but he still didn't get the message.
Good. Any other points?
Chapter is being very auspicious chapter because of Vishnu is appearing in this chapter. And Prabhupada is observing leadership of the chapter space, observing the importance of hearing. So also hearing from rampant spiritual masters because that's the first few verses.
Good. Anything else?
Someone
criticizes,
we should reason first.
We
must be
wrong.
Better to learn to reason than
giving the lie. Especially with your husband. Listen first. Okay. So, Lord Nisringadev has been unable to tolerate the atrocities committed by Hiranyakashipu. And his atheistic mentality and his demoniac attitude towards Prahlad Maharaj. So finally he's about to appear. So tonight Lord Nisringadev himself will appear. Shri Nisringadev Bhagavan. What is that? If he appeared, then you would not be in a jovial mood. You would pass stool and urine simultaneously.
Still, I have the chance to see the Lord.
Yeah, but you would be so terrified. Even the demigods were terrified. Ugra, in the sermon. Okay, so tonight we'll go from verses 15 to 34. Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. O my dear Yudhishthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods, like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. Manoj, would you like to read?
As we sometimes become very much afraid at the sound of the thunderbolt, perhaps thinking that our houses will be destroyed, the great demigods like Lord Brahma feared the thundering sound that came from the pillar in front of Hiranyakashipu.
So what are the points? So this is the sum total of all power. This is the supreme Aishwarya. This is the supreme opulence, the magnitude of God. We're about to see everything else shrivel into insignificance in front of God himself. Even God's most opulent creations are insignificant compared to him. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, everything comes from a spark of my splendor. All opulence and all wonderful things within this material world. Even all the planets simultaneously orbiting, even the sun itself, the king of the planets, Everything is insignificant when God himself appears. So God is just about to manifest, and everything else becomes insignificant. Nothing is powerful, nothing is awesome, nothing is appealing, nothing is significant, nothing is impressive in front of Krishna when he appears himself. So this is God himself appearing from the pillar, and everything else just becomes powerless in his presence. This is the sum total of all power just about to manifest from this pillar.
Before the form of the Lord comes, the sound comes. So sound precedes form. Even our chanting, we have the same philosophy. We realize the form first through the sound.
Very good. Yeah. Because God is represented in sound vibration. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am represented by the sound Om. And we know that sound represents the Lord. But this sound, you can feel his entire presence manifested simultaneously. The whole universe begins to vibrate at the potency of this sound. And even Hiranyakashipu, who is incredibly powerful, he begins to become fearful. What is this? What is about to manifest? And all the other demigods, just from Brahma all the way through the Swaga, each portion of the universe, the whole universe begins to wonder, what is this? What is this potency? Which is not. And Prabhupada points out as we go further, he says, even when there's a crack of thunder, we all become scared. It's like over Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, there's big thunder. My houses were shaking and like that, and you become... So this is much more powerful than that. It's like this is a sound which encompasses the entire universe. So everyone becomes fearful. This is the fearful side of God. This is the awesome side of God. Ugra. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful, tumultuous sound which had never before been heard. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demigods were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly.
In Bhagavad Gita 7.8, Krishna explains himself by saying, Rasohama apsukanteya prabhashmi sasisuraya pranava sarva vedeshu sabdavke paurasam nrushu. O son of Kunti Arjuna, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras, and the sound in ether and ability in man. Here the Lord exhibited his presence everywhere by the tumultuous sound in the sky, Sabdake. The tumultuous thundering sound was proof of the Lord's presence. The demons like Hiranyakashipu could now realize the supreme ruling power of the Lord, and thus Hiranyakashipu become afraid. However powerful a man may be, he always fears the sound of the thunderbolt. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu and all the demons who were his associates were extremely afraid because of the presence of the Supreme Lord in the form of sound, although they could not trace out the source of the sound.
Anything interesting?
Lord's name, form, paraphernalia, all are equally powerful. So even though Lord himself was not present, but just his sound, which is separate as well as same as Lord, has got the same power.
Only he could make a sound like this. Anything else?
Srila Prabhupada describes here as basically a wonderful, tumultuous sound. The demons, it may be very frightening, but for the devotees, it can be sort of a very auspicious opening.
Yeah, it's very auspicious, but it's this particular sound is incredibly frightening. Most devotees were petrified. It's like your father loves you, but when he becomes angry, then you get scared. So Krishna loves us, but when this sound comes, everyone's just completely petrified by the sound.
It's just the fact that the sound had never been heard before. So it is very unique and special. So everybody then begins to wonder, so what's going to happen? This is something all the way in the universe are encountering.
Yeah, the main thing about this particular sound is that it is all-encompassing. It seems like it's spreading throughout the entire universe simultaneously. Such a powerful sound. It just feels like it's everywhere simultaneously. All-pervasive. Omnipotent, omnipresent. Like that. So this is God himself. Only he can amplify, make his voice amplify and then sound be heard everywhere simultaneously.
What is the cause of their sound?
It's Nisringa. He's roaring. It's a lion. You know when a lion roars? Like that sound.
Why do people say that they've never heard this sound? It's a roaring lion. Everyone would have heard the roaring lion.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making. It's not so much the sound itself, just the sheer magnitude of the sound. Like a lion will roar, but this is everywhere simultaneously. It's like imperceivable. Where is it? What's
that?
Yeah. You know, where is its source? Where is it coming from? It's everywhere simultaneously. Yeah, deafening, transcendental. You know, it's a sound which is, they've never encountered anything like this before. You'll hear these sounds sometimes, something similar, like when there's forest fires. Right? They say the most frightening thing about the forest fire is the sound, because it makes a roar like hundreds of jumbo jets going off simultaneously. It's like this sound. So it's something awesome. It's something beyond. You know, no one had ever heard anything like this before. Yeah, everyone was just struck with wonder. Everyone was just full of fear. So fear is an aspect of God. In the Bhagavad Gita, how does he say fear manifests? How do we know God in terms of fear? Yeah, death and time. Right, these elements, this is God. Kalasmi, time I am, and I come to destroy everything. Except for you Pandavas, everything else will be destroyed. So time is extremely fearful. And death is extremely fearful. Everyone becomes scared of death. Like that. When death is upon you, suddenly you become extremely fearful. So this is how God manifests. So he's showing this Ugra form at this point in time. So everyone is just petrified. Because this sound, you know, it's so powerful, it's like a tsunami or something like that. Just like, we don't know what will happen. Everyone thinks maybe the universe, maybe this is it. This sound, yeah, it sounds like the universe is about to collapse or something like that. So everyone's just, maybe this is it. So everyone's just simultaneously put into fear like that, by the magnitude and the power. And that's why atheistic people are foolish, because they defy God's supremacy. But when the time of death comes, you just have to surrender. You realize the potency of God, how powerful he is, that he just devours you in the form of time of death. So he's showing everyone simultaneously, all of his potency, right, simultaneously. Okay. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall.
In Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaja,
praise the Lord. Is he present in this pillar? Lal Maharaj gave a same reply. Yes. My Lord is present everywhere. Therefore, convince Hiran Krishna too that the statement of Lal Maharaja was unmistakably true. The Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlada's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kamitaya Kavijani Name Bhatya Vanashani. Prahlada Maharaja's demonic father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlada, but Prahlada was confident that he could not be killed, since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encountered and the Lord encouraged his devotee, saying, in effect, don't worry, I am present here. By manifesting his form as Narasimhadeva, the Lord is Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in the pillar in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion.
So what are the points? Yeah, wonderful form. Adbhut. Adbhuta Shringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanopri. Adbhuta. Adbhut means wonderful. Awe-inspiring. So this form is awe-inspiring. When Hiranyakashipu sees it, he says, what is this? I've never seen. Perfectly half man, half lion. We can't even understand, is he man or is he lion? Just to defeat Hiranyakashipu. Because Hiranyakashipu, thinking he was more intelligent than Krishna, this is the nature of an atheist. And that's why Prabhupada would always criticize the atheists and the materialists, that they think they can outwit God, or they think that they can outsmart God, but it's not possible. Because you say, I will not be killed by a man or an animal, so then he'll show you, okay, I'm neither. I am both, and I'm neither. I'm not a man, I'm not an animal, but I'm both of them simultaneously. So don't play with Krishna. I mean, play with Krishna, but make sure you have the right mood when you play with him. In other words, if you try to deceive him, then he will deceive you more quickly. So, this form protects the devotees. Srila Prabhupada introduced in the early 70s in ISKCON daily chanting of the Nisringa prayers. And Srila Prabhupada actually said that if we only memorize or only learn the pronunciation of one set of prayers properly, it should be the Nisringa prayers. Because Lord Nisringadev, he protects the Sankirtan movement externally, and he protects the devotees internally. So we pray to him. Ito Nisrimha, Parato Nisrimho. You are here, you're also everywhere. Bahir Nisrimho, Hridaye Nisrimho. You are outside, but you're also inside of my heart simultaneously. So externally, he protects our movement. Whenever we have challenges in our movement, we pray to Nisringadev to destroy those challenges. Just like we know the pastime that Srila Prabhupada was fighting to secure the land in Juhu, in Mumbai. So he was in Australia, and then he went to New Zealand, and Prabhupada just arrived in New Zealand. And then the news came that Mr. Nair, who had been fighting with Prabhupada for possession of the land, he tried to cheat Prabhupada. The news was given that he had just died of a heart attack. So Prabhupada leant back on his asana, and Prabhupada said, "I've been praying to Lord Nisringadev to kill this demon." So whenever we need protection in the movement, we pray to Nisringadev to protect. And simultaneously, if we need protection in our own heart from our elephant-like anattas, just like if you go to India, you go to the Holy Dhams, you go to the Gaudiya Mats, you see outside of the Gaudiya Mats, very often, there is the elephant being devoured by the lion. So this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says that the elephantine desires, or the huge anattas in our heart, which are like elephants, they flee when they hear the roar of the lion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the Navadvipa Dhamma Mahatmya that if the devotees worship Nisringadev in Mayapur, then he will remove our anathas so that we can then gradually gain qualification to worship Radha and Krishna. So in Mayapur, there's the famous place in Godvarumdvip on the other side of the Jalangi from the Mayapur, which is called Nisringapali. Did you go there? You went there by yourself, right? So Nisringapali, so at that place, then Lord Nisringadev, after he destroyed Hiranyakashipu, he washed his nails, right? That was the Mandakini. Yeah. The Ganges was flowing there. Now it's just a pali, a lake, like that. But when you bathe in that lake, you're bathing in the water which has been touched by the fingertips of Nisringadev himself. And there's actually a murti there, a deity of Nisringadev, who is said to be from Satya Yuga. Right back, worshipped by that. He's still worshipped there now. So, Lord Nisringadev, if we pray to him, he will remove the anattas from our heart so that we can become qualified to approach Radha and Krishna. So he's a very important part of our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. And that's why you see on the altar, we have the altar of Nisringadev. Prabhupada said he should have his own temple. So you see in the Adbhut Mandir in Mayapur, he has his own temple, his own complete separate location, which is being built for him. You see the design like that. So one side is the Vedic planetarium, and then in the middle there is the Guru Parampara, the Panchatattva, and Radha Madhava and the Sakis, Ashtasakhi, and then Nisringadev has his own temple on the other side. So one day we'll all be able to go in there and circumambulate him in his own temple, Ugra Nisringa. Many pastimes with that deity. It's like they carved him in South India and then they put him in the hut, and then it was raining, you know, it rains a lot, but the hut caught on fire just because he was in there, because of his fearsome nature. The hut burst into flames. There's many pastimes with this deity of Nisringadev in Mayapur. Very special deity for our movement. But because he's in Mayapur, he takes on the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's in the mood of Audarya. Very soft and munificent. Even though he's the Lord who rips everything out of your heart, but simultaneously he's very merciful and very munificent, very approachable. Normally this form cannot be approached very easily. This particular form. Like that. Even when we asked to have him carved, they were very hesitant to even carve this form. Any offences, even when you're carving this form, can destroy your village. You know, a very powerful form. So, yes? Nisringadev.com.
No, Nisringalila.com.
Nisringalila.com.
Adin Tattva Prabhu called the deities from South India.
Atma Tattva. Yeah, he was in charge of the deities. Okay.
But we say that the Leela of Lord Narasimha Deva has not taken place on earthly planet. So, wherever it has taken place, Lord Narasimha Deva has gone to Narasimha Pali to wash his hands.
Yeah, there's debate. Because they say he appeared in Ahobalam in South India. And if you go there, they're very convinced that that's where he appeared. But according to the Bhagavatam, this is all taking place in Swaga. Like that. So they asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, so, you know, some debate is there. So Prabhupada didn't say either way. He said like that. Yeah, they say there and they say there like that. So Prabhupada didn't say it was one or the other. In Mayapur? Yeah, Mayapur is, yeah. And plus, if Nishridev wants to, after he's done one thing, wants to go somewhere else and wash his hands, then it's no problem for him. So. So it's not so important where he did this pastime. Either he did it here on earth or he did it in heaven, but it's not so important for us. The fact is that he appeared to protect his devotee. So Prabhupada's point is that a devotee is always confident that Krishna, that Lord Nisringadeva will protect him. A devotee has this shraddha or faith that we will be protected under all circumstances. But as Krishna Kshetra Prabhu points out, he says, but there's no guarantee your material body will be protected. That's a different thing. Maybe it will. Maybe it will. Just like Rasa is saying, they call Nisringadeva Maipa Dr. Nisringa. It's true. Devotees have been cured from all sorts of diseases from the deity. But he doesn't guarantee that. He never says anywhere. Don't go to him just praying for material things, because it's up to him. He may want to take you or he may want to leave you, that's a material body, but he says he will always protect you. It means he will protect your soul in your eternal relationship with him. And Prabhupada actually says, when this Leela took place, because now he's just come out of the pillar, Prahlad Maharaj was asked by Hiranyakashipu a few verses back. Hiranyakashipu said, is he in this pillar? And Prabhupada says in one lecture that Srikadev put his head out. And he looked at Prahlad just to show him, I'm here. And then Prahlad said, yes, he's there. Like that. And then Hiranyakashipu stood up and got angry. And then he smashed the pillar and then the Shridev manifested out of it.
But that thing is not dead,
is it? That I know.
Where is it?
Prabhupada said.
He is here and there and everywhere. What you have in it all. Wherever you want, he's there. Then Prabhupada asked that, is he there in this field? Prabhupada says, yes, he is there.
I was just wondering, if somebody troubles you, is it better to pray and to Lord Narasimha to make their hearts soft and make them devotee, or pray to him to kill him? I always pray to the Lord to make their hearts soft.
Because if you pray that they will be killed, then maybe they'll be killed. So. You're not talking about your husband, are
you? He's toothless tiger.
He's what?
Toothless tiger.
Toothless tiger. Oh God. This is such a strong marriage.
50 years.
50 years. Only after 50 years you can say these things. Actually, you're a toothless tiger. I've been waiting 50 years to tell you. did you hear that one, Sharon Mookie? Hey, Sharon Mookie.
Yes, Prabhu.
Did you hear that one?
I couldn't hear the whole thing because some of the voices were feeble.
Okay. We'll tell you later on.
It's okay, Prabhu. Thank you.
Thanks. The grandparents are having another Leela. Okay. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man and half a lion? Shall I run? You like to read them? You can read?
Yeah.
Let the Bible tell me.
The human cannot calculate the unlimited potency of the Supreme Lord. As stated in the Vedas, Parasya Shakti Vividheva Shuryate Sabhaviki Jnana Bhava Kriyaksha. The different potencies of the Lord are always working as an automatic exhibition of this knowledge. For a demon, it is certainly wonderful that the form of a lion and the form of a man can be united, since the demon has no experience of the inconceivable power of which the Supreme Lord is called all-powerful. Demons cannot understand the omnipotence of the Lord. They simply compare the Lord to one man. Of the Mullahs, rascals, think that Krishna is an ordinary human being who appears to own the benefits of other human beings. Param Bhavan, Ajamita. Fools, rascals, and demons cannot realize the supreme potency of the Lord. But he can do anything and everything. Indeed, he can do whatever he likes. When Hiranyakashipu received benediction from Lord Brahma, he thought that he was safe, since he received the benediction that he would not be killed by either by an animal or by a human being. He never thought that an animal and a human being will be combined so that things like him would be puzzled by such a thing. This is the meaning of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's omnipotence.
So, any points?
The Lord can do anything and he can take any form. He is unlimited.
Good. Anything else?
The Lord can do that anymore.
So, one who is envious of God, he becomes covered by the material energy. So Hiranyakashipu was envious. So he could not understand the potency of the Lord. He could not understand the potency of God, the power of God. So envy makes us covered so that we cannot understand the Lord's potential. People, they very much, due to their false ego, they very much, it's just because of envy, because they hate God, because they've developed this envious attitude. Everyone's a devotee originally, but because we develop this envious attitude, it becomes so strong, and Krishna covers us, so that we actually think, oh, God cannot do this, God cannot do that, like that. And they become very convinced about these things. So much so that now they have a world parliament of atheism. You know, it's not good enough now. You know, that you can, and the world is becoming so sentimental now. They think, oh yeah, we have to support these things. You know, people should have an atheistic department or an atheistic parliament or like this. So this is the whole foolishness which comes about in the material energy, because people are envious of God, then he covers them. And when they become covered, then they forget Krishna, and they can go to any extreme in forgetting Krishna. So now we see that Hiranyakashipu, who is very intelligent actually, he's an extremely intelligent entity, but because if you look at his next birth, he's Ravan. Ravan was extremely intelligent, extremely learned in the Vedas. Right? So Hiranyakashipu was an extremely learned, gifted personality. Not like an ordinary personality. But he's just become covered in his consciousness, and he has been outwitted completely, as Prabhupada's explaining, by Krishna himself. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's useless. All of the atheists, they try to develop their parliaments so that they can try to defy God or disprove God's existence. But at the end of their life, they'll just be forced to bow down, and they'll feel his potency in the form of death, and they'll realize deep within their consciousness, I'm just a fool. So if you want to forget him, he'll give you some facility, but actually you can't. You can't forget him, because he appears for the atheist in the form of death. Bhagavatam says, right? If you don't bow down voluntarily, you'll be forced to bow down at the time of death. So either way, he will appear to you. So better just being, to be humble. Voluntarily bow your head. Any points?
I was just wondering. See, this happens in Satyur. And Ravan came in the Dwapar. So where was he in that time? In Brahmajyoti?
Hiranyakashipu is Ravan.
Yeah, but see, he appeared in Veda.
Oh, you mean where did he go in between?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they merge into the body of the Lord. And then maybe they come out again. Or something like that. I don't know if it's described or not. It describes that when they die, then they go into the Lord's body.
Okay.
Then maybe in the next incarnation they come out again or something. Like that. Yeah. Yeah, well, there's some in between. It may not be one birth straight to the next birth. It might be, but it may not be like that. So she's just saying, where do they go? Like that, so. Yeah, I mean, there might have been a time lapse.
Shishupal went into the
Brahmajyoti, right? So I just wondering if I think, because it mentions they also got that type of liberation. Mm-hmm. Probably, unless they did take birth straight away, but I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. What is it?
Are these stories from Srimad Bhagavatam which we are reading only from this universe, or are there stories from this universe?
All the stories are only from this universe. But they're in different kalpas or different times in the universe, different parts of the creation. It's only this universe which is being spoken about. Because there's always Chaturmukha from he only has four heads, so it's only this universe. But it describes that the pastimes are pretty much the same in all the universes. Pretty much. Like, in each universe, when the Lord appears, similar pastime. Sometimes it's different. It says the details are different sometimes. But many, most of the time, it's similar. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrisingadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues and atheists, with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, "Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me?" Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Jumuna, would you like to read?
In the jungle there are sometimes fights between lions and elephants. Here the Lord appeared like a lion, and Hiranyakashipu, unafraid of the Lord, attacked him like an elephant. Generally the elephant is defeated by the lion, and therefore the comparison in this verse is appropriate.
So when the lion comes, everyone else retreats. You will see in the jungle, when the lion comes, everyone else, they move aside. They give him respect. The only animals which are challenged the lion, maybe the elephant, some very powerful like that. But Prabhupada says, generally the lion will win. So that is the nature. So basically, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, of animals, I am the lion. The lion is the most powerful of the animals. So therefore, it represents Krishna. So when Krishna takes this form, because this is God in his angriest form, so he manifests as the lion in that form. So when God comes in that form, then everyone else will be defeated. Right. Even Hiranyakashipu is extremely powerful, but easily defeated. Everyone is easily defeated by Krishna. But he just allows everyone to have some pastime with him. Like that. I've been reading, you know that book, that Shiva Ramaswamy's book that I was given, like that. So I've been reading. So this is the topmost nectar. So I was reading the pastime of when Krishna enters into Mathura to eventually kill Kamsa. So first of all, Krishna, as he's entering the wrestling arena, he has to get past Kuvalaya Pita, who is the great elephant. So once again, the lion is fighting with the
elephant.
So what he does, because the elephant's very angry, they strike the elephant with a goad. Goad means like a stick which has a spike on it. So the elephant in the top of the head, they're hitting him, so he becomes very angry. So they make him very disturbed. So when the elephant gets angry or disturbed, they're very fearful. So Krishna, when he saw the elephant was like that, he ran underneath him. And he was hitting him underneath on the legs. And the elephant was getting more and more disturbed. He's trying to find Krishna. Right? And Krishna was taunting him. He was calling him bad names. Hey, hey, Saleh. Like that. He was right? He's punching him. And hitting him like this. And then he ran out from under him, out the front. And he was walking down the street. And Krishna was saying, come on. Come on. And the elephant was coming after him. The elephant chased him. So then Balaram ran behind the elephant and grabbed his tail, right? And Balaram was pulling him back down the street like this. And the elephant was going, he was very disturbed. So Krishna began to laugh as Balaram was pulling him. So Krishna grabbed his trunk and started pulling him this way, like this, right? So the elephant was going, like that. And then eventually, then Krishna just picked up the elephant and just got him and just smashed him on the ground and killed him. Right? And then pulled out his tusks. And he gave one to Balaram, and he took one, they put them on their shoulders, and they walked into the wrestling arena. So when he walked into the wrestling arena, they walked up in front of Kamsa and they took the tusks and they put them in the ground, stamped them in the ground, and then they turned their backs on Kamsa and walked off, just as an act of defiance. So then Kamsa ordered for the wrestlers to wrestle. So Chinuya and Mushti, they wrestled with Krishna and Balaram. Both of them were defeated. And then Krishna, eventually, he jumps up onto the wrestling dais, grabs Kamsa by the hair, and throws him back down into the wrestling ring, and then jumps and lands on his body, and then punches him to death. And then he gets his hair and he drags him around the wrestling arena just to show everyone that he's dead, like a lion. Right? But then, right, Krishna's friends, Subal, Sridharma, you know, they're walking around the arena saying, Jai, Jai, you know, making all the crowd, you know, just see what Krishna and Balaram are, Jai, Jai. So, you know, everyone's saying, Jai, Jai, like that. But then the boys turn around and say, he's not so strong. And they run over and they jump on him. And they get him, get Krishna, and they throw him on the ground. And the boys are like, right? And there's a whole match going on. And the boys stand up and say, yes, we are the champions. They defeat Krishna in front of everyone. So Krishna is the lion, like that. But with his friends, then he allows them to defeat, even though he is the all-powerful being. But by love or bhakti, he can become defeated. Even Krishna can be defeated by his friends. In front of everyone, Krishna doesn't mind. He lets them be. He was beating them as well. You know, it says the wrestling match, then they started the wrestling match, which went on for quite a while as well. And the whole crowd was cheering. The crowd's going, go, go, go. And the boys were fighting like that. And sometimes they were beating Krishna, and other times Krishna was beating them, and they loved it. It actually describes when the cowherd boys first ran out into the wrestling arena, they went out and they all started dancing in front of the crowd. They all just started dancing like right, just dancing in front of the whole crowd, just to get all the crowd. And all the crowd would. And Kamsa was furious. Kamsa was thinking, who are these boys? You know, bunch of boys from Vrindavan. You know, just run into the wrestling arena and all start, you know, dancing. They didn't even care that Kamsa was there. Everyone was scared of Kamsa. Even the demigods were scared of Kamsa. But the boys were just all dancing. And it was like they didn't even care.
Because Krishna is there.
Yeah, because Krishna is there. And all of them are so powerful, they could even defeat Kamsa. That's how powerful. It mentions that they could even defeat the demons that Kamsa was sending into Vrindavan. So Krishna is like a lion, like that. So everyone, he can defeat everyone. But even his friends can defeat him. Ajita becomes conquered by the love of his devotees. And you'll see later, and we'll read next week, then Prahlad conquers Nrsimhadev. Only the devotee can conquer the Lord. Okay. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creatures become invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. So, Prabhupada points out that Krishna is constituted of Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva means pure goodness. So when goodness is there, when pure goodness is there, darkness disappears. Krishna Suya Sama Maya Haya Andhaka, Prabhupada quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhupada says, at this point in time, the world is very dark. You know, everything is Kali. Kali means black. So the whole world is very dark at this point in time. So Prabhupada says, how does the world become light once again? Through the spreading of the Sankirtan movement. In other words, wherever Bhakti Yoga is practiced, When bhakti yoga is practiced, the Lord appears. Just like you see here in Melbourne, right? Prabhupada practiced bhakti yoga, right? He worshipped Krishna and Krishna appeared. Right? Krishna is here. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu are here. Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra are here. Srimati Radharani is here. Right? Why? Because the devotee, by his devotional service, he caused them to manifest. And then everything becomes light. Then Shuddha Sattva manifests. Hey, what is this going on here? No more of this. This is a very serious class. Only Mataji can make jokes. Everyone else has to be serious. Okay? Especially all the children. Okay? I'm watching. So, wherever the devotee, wherever he serves Krishna, then Shuddha Sattva will appear. And the spiritual energy will appear. And therefore you'll see that the more we preach and spread the Sankirtan movement, the more we practice Bhakti Yoga, right, the more Krishna will manifest. And the dark atmosphere in Kali Yuga, that will gradually go away. Therefore, thereafter, the great demon, Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisimhadev with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisimhadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. O Yudhishthira, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrisimhadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods who had lost their abodes and who were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrisimhadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. So Prabhupada is pointing out that if someone is impious or demoniac, they will be crushed. And you see that that's what happens in the history of the world. You see all the demons, they become crushed by the material energy or by the Lord himself. So you see, because this person has acted like a demon, then he is just devoured by the Lord, by his potency. However, we see that Krishna, he likes to experience rasa. So even though he's having this pastime with Hiranyakashipu, he's enjoying the pastime. For him, everything is just leela. Just like you see in the Vrindavan pastimes, before he jumps off the Kadamba tree to attack Kaliya in the Jamuna, first he dresses himself very nicely. That is Krishna's mood. He's always enjoying rasa. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, he's on the battlefield wearing a garland. He makes sure he looks very nice. Before he goes to battle, he likes to look very nice. So he's enjoying rasa. He likes leela. So he likes to enjoy chivalry. So even though he's fighting with Hiranyakashipu, for him it's just enjoyment. So he lets him go. Even though he has him and he could crush him, he lets him go. Just to increase the rasa. And then all the demigods become very scared. Right? Hiranyakashipu gets confidence and just increases the chivalrous rasa. It actually says when in the Krishna book, when you read about when Krishna is fighting with Kamsa, it says that more or less he jumps up on the dais, he picks him up and he throws him down. But actually, the Acharyas say they were fighting for 2 hours up there. So Krishna enjoys the fight. He enjoys the chivalrous rasa. And he allows his opponents to sometimes get the upper hand. Just so it can increase his pleasure and increase the pleasure of everyone who is witnessing. Just like when Kaliya He wraps his coils around Krishna. Or Kuvalaya appeared. At first he picks him up with his trunk. Like that. So he likes to just increase the rasa. Like that. So Krishna, he enjoys chivalry. He enjoys fighting. That's what this whole pastime is ultimately about. He came from the spiritual world to the material world just to enjoy the pastime. In the spiritual world, there's only flower fights. Yeah. Or holy. Holy is as dramatic as it all gets in the spiritual world. Yeah. Squirting colours and throwing powders and flowers. And that's it. Hands up if you'd like to have a holy festival here in Melbourne. Not much interest, though. Okay, don't worry. You're right. Or, if we do have one, we won't invite all of you. Or just invite the ones who put their hands up. Manoj, did you list who put their hands up? Good. Okay. Hands up if you'd like to have a holy festival here in Melbourne. Still? Okay. What about at the farm? We'll see. Okay.
How long did it take with this? How long the whole fight with this? You said 2 hours.
Which one?
Nasimadev and.
No, no, that was Kamsa and Krishna. That was about 2 hours. This one, I've heard, it's not written here, but I've heard it began around the middle of the day, around about noon, and it finished on sunset.
Not much.
Yeah, like 6 hours or something.
Krishna fights with Jambavan for about 21 days, day and night, continuously.
These ones are smaller.
What's the difference between Jambavan and Jambavan?
And I think it mentions that when Jambavan was like crushing the Lord, he felt like he was being embraced. So he enjoys the pastime. Okay. 6 hours would be a good fight, though. To watch a fight for 6 hours would be good.
So Jambavan is fighting for
23 days.
How much was it?
21 days. I think it was 28, actually. Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, went on for like a month, non-stop. Fight. That would be a good one. To watch it for a month. 6 hours would be a good fight. Yeah. Okay. Making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, who is extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moves, sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth. His eyes closed because of fear of Nisringadev's laughter. As a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nisringadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nisringadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. And then in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. So all of the benedictions were defeated. You cannot be killed by anything which is living or dead, by man, by animal, in the air, on the land, inside, outside, night, day, by any weapon. Right? All of it was destroyed at once. Anything created by Brahma. So he was destroyed. So basically, what do we learn as devotees? We're not demons, we're devotees. We're trying to be devotees. So what do we learn from this? Just surrender to Krishna. It's no use opposing him. Sometimes we do oppose him. Even as devotees, sometimes we become a bit rebellious. But as soon as you do that, he just pushes you back. Puts you back in your place. Sometimes you can feel him like that. Or sometimes you can hear the roar you start doing the wrong thing, you can hear the roar begin to manifest around you. You can feel his displeasure very quickly. Okay. So we should just surrender to him. We should just be obedient. Save ourselves a lot of trouble. Lord Nisringadev's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nisringadev, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that had just killed an elephant. So he is very beautiful and he's very powerful, just like a lion. Hands up if you've ever seen a lion in real life.
Yes.
They were just sitting inside the car.
Yeah, inside the car. So you can go on safari, or you can see them in the zoo if you go there. But like Burujan Prabhu says, even though there's a cage there, you still feel something. They still have a shakti or a potency. Yeah, it doesn't matter even if there's a cage there. You can still feel that. This is a lion, right there. Just like I think I was telling this morning, the one time they were walking through the zoo with Prabhupada, and the devotees were teasing the lion to make him more angry. Prabhupada said, don't tease him. Don't disturb him. Like that. It's easy to be brave when you're on this side of the cage. If you get on that side of the cage, then it's a very different story. They're very powerful. Like that. It mentions that the Kshatriyas, back in the Rajput days, a few centuries back, the Kshatriyas used to wrestle them. Or used to take a dagger, a knife, and used to go and fight with them with their hands, like that, just to increase their courage and their... Like that. So would you do that? Just take a knife and go and fight with the lion? And it is said sometimes the lion would come and he would stand up and he would go like that. And the Kshatriya would also grab him on the hands and they would wrestle like that. And the lion would be trying to get him and the Kshatriya would be moving him around. And then the Kshatriya would somehow try to like toss him over and then grab him around the neck and then squeeze him until he dies. Yeah, breaking his neck like that. Very, very brave, very powerful. But most of us, even a lion cub, would become what? Fearful.
There is an open zoo, actually a zoo, I think somewhere in Thailand, where the tigers are trained like cats. Therefore, you can walk, you can sit with them, you can raise your hand, you can palm them.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I've heard of them too. I went up to Queensland. Which one?
Dreamworld.
Dreamworld. So in Dreamworld, they have the tigers like that. And when you actually see them, they're huge. When they stand up, they're almost twice as tall as a human. I mean, these animals are huge and so powerful. And they take some meat, they put it on the end of a staff, like a 14-foot pole, and they drag it in front of it, and then they lift it up like that, and it runs after it, and then it runs up the tree to grab it. And within 2 or 3 pounces, it just goes, and suddenly it's up like higher than the roof. You see how powerful these animals actually are. And if they want to take you, then that's it. You're finished. So these animals have Krishna's Shakti within them. And when the Lord, when he's in that angry mood, then he takes on that form and shows his full potency. So. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart and then threw him aside and turned toward the demon soldiers. These soldiers had come in thousands to fight with him and raised with raised weapons and were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Nrisingadev killed all of them merely with the ends of his nails. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that he pulled out his heart. Well, the Bhagavatam says he pulled out his heart, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said he pulled out his heart and then he looked at it. And he said, this heart used to be very good. He was my devotee. But now, there's lust, there's anger, there's greed. So he just threw it on the ground. Okay. So examine the heart. So Krishna examines our heart. Not like this, but he examines our heart. He's always looking, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? So that's why he took out his heart. Because he was looking. He used to be my devotee, but now, impure. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says we should make our heart clean so that Krishna can enter. The hair on Nrisingadev's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and the oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. Aeroplanes were thrown into outer space and the upper planetary system by the hair on Nrisingadev's head. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position, and all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky and all directions diminished in their natural illumination. Manifesting a full effulgence and a fearsome countenance, Lord Nrisimha, being very angry and finding no contestant to face his power and opulence, then sat down in the assembly hall on the excellent throne of the king. Because of fear and obedience, no one could come forward to serve the Lord directly. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that normally the Lord will not accept something which has been offered to someone else. This is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. It's an offense to offer the Lord something which has already been used. That's an aparat. So then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, why does he sit on the throne if it's already been used? Hiranyakashipu has already sat there. And secondly, Hiranyakashipu has been inimical towards Lord Nrisingadev. So why would he sit on his throne? But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur pointed out that actually Hiranyakashipu was Jai in the spiritual world. So he's actually his devotee. And even if the devotee, not that we should do this, but even if the devotee offers something to the Lord which he has used with love, the Lord will accept it. That is the love between Krishna and his devotee. And you see in the pastime of Krishna eating with the cowherd boys, right? The cowherd boys take the prasad off their own plate and they say to Krishna, they taste it and they say to Krishna, taste this from their own mouth. They'll taste it and they say, taste this. Delicious. Right? Would you ever do that to your gopu? Imagine you take something, taste it and say, very nice, taste it. You would never do that. But the devotees, who are prema bhaktas, they have such love for the Lord that they will even taste it and they will even offer it like that. We should not imitate this. Don't get any ideas. Don't be artificial. That's way, way, way beyond us like that. If it ever happens spontaneously, then it happens. But don't do it artificially. Don't try to reach for the moon artificially. Okay, so we'll stop there.
Well, I heard that his Lord sat there because Hiranyakashipu had sat there and it became impure. So Lord sat there to make it purified for
the love.
Yeah, that's a good one. I haven't heard that, but that's a nice explanation. twig. Srila Prabhupada Ki, Srila Bhagavan Ki.